And for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve the November 10th, 2020 agenda as written. Have a second?
Second it.
Motion's been made and seconded by Jay. Any changes? Comments? Okay, hearing none. Mara, please call the roll.
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Meg Whitster?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We don't, do we have any student presentations? I didn't know digitally or anything like that, so, nope, okay. We'll move on to correspondence. Any correspondence?
None.
None, okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Mara, do we have anyone online?
I do not believe we have anyone online.
Okay. And no one obviously is here, so, and nothing written in, emails or anything like that? Nope?
No.
Okay. We'll move on to comments from the audience related to agenda items. And considering we don't have anybody online or having emailed in anything previously, we'll move on to comments from board members. Okay. Anybody? No? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Could I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Cheryl. Any discussion? This is our usual accounting reports, our regular board meetings, and our special meeting minutes in October and November, so. Hearing no discussion, motion has been made and seconded. Mara, please call the roll.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Meg Whitster?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to administrative reports, and we'll start with Superintendent Clint Painter.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. Several things on here are things I'll be involved in talking about, so I don't have too much to add here other than just to formally recognize tonight that tomorrow is Veterans Day, and so we are all in session here tomorrow, but just would like to recognize and honor the veterans in our local community and show our appreciation for them. Well, all veterans, actually, but people here in town. Also, we've been doing quite a bit of starting to talk about some different conferences that are coming up here after Christmas. One of them is a really wildly popular one that we have usually quite a bit of participation in, the RTI Response Intervention NCSS conference that happens in January every year. And it's a great effective instruction conference. It's really grown to be quite popular in the state. A lot of people go, they're offering it virtually this year, and we're going to use some of our professional development money to allow teachers, as many teachers as we can get signed up for it. It's over a weekend, so that's helpful for us. There's not any sub requirements, which is really helpful right now. So some great presenters, and we're excited about that. We're going to send out a survey to the staff and see who's interested and available, and maybe get people some lunch for that day or those days because it's over the weekend. So we're excited about that. And also looking at the ASPE conference, which is another one in February that we usually send a team to, and they're also working on a virtual option, kind of a combined one. So we don't have all the details on that one yet, but just nice to be talking about instruction and not COVID for a little bit. So talking about learning and instruction, it's been kind of a breath of fresh air. So beyond that, I think the other things are all on the agenda to be discussed. So okay. That's it for me.
Any questions or comments for Erica? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to Mrs. Kahn with the elementary principals report.
Okay. The currently enrolled here at the district for us at Desmond are 205. We have 202. My math doesn't work out. 203 in person and 2 virtually. My math is wrong on here, sorry. You can't see it, I'm not sure. The class sizes are still the same. We are still providing after-school recess, homework busters, and student council at this time. The fifth grade is back as of today, so that's pretty cool. They're back in the building. Our newspaper by Mrs. Miller, the classroom, what's up, Stedman, was in the newspaper. So if you guys got a chance to see that, they were in the newspaper. They're eagerly writing their next column. So we should have one. We're a little late since we were put on quarantine for the fifth grade, but they are still continuing on. I had reported that last meeting, I was working on a swim program. We're not going to be doing that anymore, so I'm not working on a swim program. We're working on just a few other things just to provide some relief to teachers in our building, but nothing formal as of right now. I also wanted to let you know that I didn't ask any visitors to come here tonight. I thought that they would be quarantined until tomorrow, but
Public health.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The public health has let them go on the 10th. So that was today. So that is my fault for that. I did get quotes for some playground equipment. The swings, if we were just installing swings on the playground, these kids, let me back up just a minute. The students that worked with me were all the students that had control of that petition. So they were working with me. They went outside, they found spots for these swings, they measured out where they would like a nature block to be placed. They measured everything. They looked on the website. I held special meetings in my office, and we were on the computer and we were looking, and they chose colors. They have it all. And so the swings itself, we were looking at game time. If we were just to buy the swings, it's about $7,400. Just swings. That comes with the seats and the chains and just the swing structure. The bonded rubber that goes under the swings is
$42,000.
Oh, geez. So the price goes dramatically up. The Nature Walk playset that they had picked out was $95,000. Right now they're offering a one-time deal grant. If we purchase by the first week of December, they will give us $39,200 off of this set. The bonded rubber that goes under this set is $43,700 estimated. The shipping for the playground equipment only is $9,850. And the shipping is included in the bonded rubber. At this time, when we looked at the accounting, when we talked with the accounting office, we believe that that funding that's under COVID will be a hard sell to look at for that money. So currently we have no funding. And if we order by the first week of December, we get that $39,000 off. That is the update I have. And then I found out that we have to get two more quotes, because we have to have three quotes for this to be legal. And I haven't found the time to do that. So I think that's really all I have.
I'm curious, how many swings for $7,400?
Four
swings.
Yeah, that's like the kind of like the red one that's on the.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Astronomical.
It's astronomical.
Right.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's expensive, but I guess I just haven't looked at numbers in a long time.
Yeah. Ralph and I tried to, if we got everything here by December 31st, we would have to order that first week of December, but they were gracious enough to extend that discount that they were giving us this one-time grant, and they were willing to extend that, and then we can still get the equipment here, but we don't have the funding. And then once we get the equipment here, it's going to cost extra money for them to come up and install the Nature Walk but we can install the swings.
The swings are possible.
That's what I was wondering. The swings might be, they're under the threshold.
The covering is not great, but we're going to, I mean, the rubber stuff is.
Yeah.
Playgrounds are expensive.
Well, what's nice about that rubber stuff, isn't that the stuff that, it's not like the loose rubber. It's
right.
It's actually bonded, so it won't take out from under.
Exactly.
It's long-term, it'll last.
It's long-term.
Yeah, long-term, you have to replace it constantly or add more in.
Exactly. Yeah. It's expensive.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I'm thinking I'm in the wrong industry.
We learned it a few years ago when we, that's why we ended up doing some things we did with the last.
Falling off the swing.
Update.
And falling down on the ground, sorry.
What, our insurance company doesn't like it.
What is in the nature walk?
The students had. There's a swing that's attached to it, a slide that's attached to it, there's the monkey bars, but this is.
So it's like a whole unit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I'm thinking nature walk, like a.
Now that's something we can work on, Katie.
Why is that $95?
Right, there's like big leaves and it's like more of a natural color kind of thing, right? The greens and tans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they talked about doing, redoing the basketball setup, so we're getting those functional and cameras to protect them. Where are we at with that?
They're working on the cameras. We don't have all the wiring complete for that.
And the hoops are in.
The hoops are in on the other end, right?
They're here, they're not, yeah.
I mean, they're here, sorry.
So on the primary end, we were taking down the bigger hoops that were under the covered area. And then Pi and.
1801.
Yeah, the wellness committee at 1801.
They purchased these basketball hoops that can go down into the ground, which won't be put in until next summer because they don't have time at this time to put in. The basketball hoops, new hoops, chain netting, and rims for these out here was about, estimated about $4,500.
Is that game time?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does look like a lot of fun.
It does, yeah.
And AML was really nice enough to donate the shipping for those, the new basketball equipment as well.
Oh, nice.
Did you say it's not going to be under the covered area?
The basketball hoop will be under the covered area both ends. We just had to, what we got were, we had, basketball hoops at the primary end where you can lift them up for the older kids and then put them back down for the younger kids. So they vary in size, but it's just really nice adjustable. The backboards, four backboards for this intermediate area was up $3,092. The rims were $460, with shipping and everything, $4,600 for the basketball. But we don't have any funding.
We'll talk more about that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like we're small enough numbers that we might be able to find the money for that, but.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. It was hard getting the playground equipment. I mean, Rotary has been fundraising for a while, right?
Yeah.
For that one.
Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's not the equipment. It's all the other. It's not the actual. I mean, the equipment is expensive too, but.
Yeah, but then just the underlying.
It's all the under. But, yeah.
Grant. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we're not done talking about.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
I know, like the fifth graders, we had pods that kind of mixed, so that we have coordinating the whole grade. Are we doing anything to change that, or is that still the scenario? If you like a third grader gets sick, or the whole third grade can be quarantined?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so at this time. Sorry.
No problem.
I've been choking on my own, said I should get my gum. No, we've actually had a lot of conversation about that.
Yeah.
That what we had done was what we thought was best at the time, and then looking back, we're looking at it and making changes and tweaks to it, and thinking, you know, is that something that we would do again in, say, for third grade? Or is it something that we would just take that one class and quarantine, and we haven't come to a consensus on that, but I don't believe it will be the same.
We were overly cautious in that sense, being the first one, and I think just talking more in depth with public health and people at the medical center as well, just talking through that, kind of the whole process around this, you know, even more than the 6 feet and the 15 minutes, they're talking more about kind of that whole concept of over a 24-hour period of time, even being within the same space, which, you know, if you're outside and during a recess and it's that 30-minute block, it's not 24 hours, you know, it's, I think there's some room for conversation there. I mean, we still don't want kids climbing all over each other on the playground. We do our best to not have them literally on top of each other, but they are kids, so
That was one of their main concerns. I got an email from their classes, and as a group, they were very concerned with three things. I might be able to remember two, but the first one was, do they get to have recess together? Because that is something that they feel very, very strongly about, is that they get to see their friends. And then the second one, did they still have Vanessa Miller and Dan Sullivan share the cafeteria at one point during the day, and Vanessa's on one side and Dan's on the other, and they were just still hoping that they were going to get their lunchtime. And then they were wondering about, are they going to have to wear masks every day, all day long? Those were the three questions. A rest shirt, everything's the same.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mrs. Collin. Okay, next we'll have Mr. Dormer for middle school and high school. Principal's report.
Good evening. Yeah, as Superintendent Kluphainer said, I also want to say a few hours coming up here. Happy Veterans Day. I called it today at our middle school staff meeting, COVID casualties. This is such a wonderful assembly. And I'm just so disappointed that it, you know, just didn't work out this year, and understand why. And but we are doing our best, obviously, in our own world, and of course we're talking about with our students and staff, just to recognize just how important our veterans are, and we wish everyone a happy Veterans Day tomorrow. Our ASB has written, we'll put a couple posts out on, you know, social media to say hi. Our ASB had written a message, and KFSK is, you know, will be running, but they're, you know, closed for the holiday, of course. It's a federal holiday, so put some stuff out there. But happy Veterans Day, and you are appreciated, and we're all sorry there's no assembly. We don't have a band, you know, high school band this year, no choir this year, so things are all different. Coming up again, what looks like we'll talk a little bit, a reminder about the Blue Ribbon ceremony, but that is coming up this Thursday and Friday, so Mr. Brawl over there and myself and Mrs. KP are going to tune in and take part in that. So again, just another reminder to say congratulations to Bancroft Middle School staff, students, and families. Coming up, we did get through, and I know the elementary working through and getting through the MAP testing, and that's a neat thing to get through. Today was on a call with Commissioner Heather and I, we're both on a call with Commissioner Johnson and other leaders. It was something he is talking about, what parents were really interested in that he's hearing across the state. One of them is an assessment for their students that they can kind of say, you know, how are my kids doing? You know, obviously they're being assessed in school, and recognize he's representing kind of a bigger area, but that's neat, and that's what a MAP assessment does for us. It's a third party, so it's not, you know, created by our staff, and it's just a third-party assessment, and they'll take it a few times throughout the year, and they took it last year, and so it's nice to see, and I'm pretty optimistic that our kids are doing great. Again, we're really fortunate that our kids are in green most of the time and are participating in in-person education. They're still learning along the way, so that's good to see, but that is a big question, and so it's another good reason to take MAP assessment, as well as just nice for kids to track and see how they're doing. Middle school has a nice system where kids, you know, have a little sheet they log and put in their score and kind of see how they're doing. So it's neat to see that student ownership that our teachers have helped set up for them. So we got through that. That's a good thing. And thank you to Bridget Woodstock and Jenna Turner, who take a lot of lead in the secondary schools to make sure that happens. Something else I wanted just to share with the school board. I talked to middle school, and I'll say this again to high school staff tomorrow. Something else that came out, Dr. Zink was on the call. It was always interesting to listen to. And she brought up a stat there on, I can phrase this the right way, I'm clearly not Dr. Zink, the school infection numbers, and these are kind of cases reported at schools, the staff versus students, and these are students who are like going to school and then it's like, you know, this student has COVID, as opposed to we went on a trip, we came back, we never went back into school, we were positive, we're staying home kind of thing. It's how she explained it, but the number she had from school staff is was 180 as of the survey right now, 188, let me say that again, and the student numbers of kids who are going, oh, I have COVID, going home, is only 214, which I know those are high infection numbers, but it's scary how close those are if you think about the overall ratio of students. Obviously, there's tons more students than there are staff. So I just tell my staff, you know, keep those precautions, keep kids masking, that kind of stuff. It is so important that we have these great teachers healthy, and we're seeing that stat, which I found a little alarming, but that number of staff is as high as the students, you know, infection. Obviously, we want them both to be zero, but it's just so important to keep our staff healthy. Just want to share that with you. Thank you. We've wrapped up quarter one in the high school and the middle school, and we did an adventurous activity day in our pods in the middle school, so congratulations to the middle school staff for doing that. And students for getting through it, that was great. Excited to see us do those type of things. And things like activity today, although it looks different still, it's nice to celebrate. It also feels a little normal and gets the routine, which those things are really important this time of year when things are, not everything is normal. And we're gonna celebrate, and we're welcome, you're all invited here, school board members, people listening on the radio, the middle school quarter one awards assembly, November 17th, that's a Tuesday. We're gonna do it in the gym. Parents, I'm so sorry you're not invited to this one. We are going to stream it. So Mr. Burrell's going to fix a lot so parents can watch their kids get awards. And so you are invited, I should say, to stay positive online. And that's a free one, right, Mr. Burrell?
Yep.
You don't have to have an NFHS. We'll put this on Facebook and our bulletin stuff for parents to log in and watch that. And again, we'll celebrate and we'll stay in our pods and we'll not shake hands and all that stuff, but we'll still recognize kids doing great things in the classroom. And then if people were asking, and again, the high school, we've had two classes obviously wrap up of those blocks. We are not doing an awards assembly just for those two. We will maintain our traditional awards assembly to do after semester one. So we'll do something. And when I say traditional, I don't know what it will look like yet. We'll work with staff just like we do with middle school to see where it could be, you know, online, that kind of stuff. But we will certainly find ways to congratulate our kids who are also doing great things in the classroom. So that's my report for right now. Any questions for me?
What's going well, what's not going well?
Well, getting through the quarter and classes move along and we're staying in green, we're staying healthy, and kids are continuing to do a great job with masking. Oh, what are our current challenges? We're going through our PBS, you know, our PBS lessons are going on, and we're, actually we looked at, you know, some of our discipline data and we're talking about respect. I don't think we have disrespectful kids, but I think this masking on our faces makes kids, you know, kind of fight the system a little bit, which is very understandable. To be honest, you want a little bit of fight in your kids, you know, because they're sort of learning to be young adults. So we're talking our next month or so, leading up to Christmas, we're going to talk about being respectful. Student leadership is talking about, you know, doing a food drive. So that's kind of something kind of normal, a canned food drive there, kind of leading up to Christmas time. So that's something to celebrate and kind of get into those activities. We were just talking about like National Honor Society, National Junior Honor Society. Those are more complicated. Didn't plan time for those kids to meet. And we talk about the day of giving that we've tried to do before Christmas and how complicated that could be. There are some things, and I think superintendent joke, we hope it snows a bunch, and then we got a lot of kids to go outside and shovel snow. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's the same thing. I think it'd be great.
Things like, you know, the baking and giving those to more elderly and stuff probably is not, you know, a safe activity this type of year. So we still try to, we try to do those things, especially those wonderful things like Veterans Day and Day of Giving that are so complicated, but are so important. Those are challenges.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? No. Okay. Moving on to Director of Activities Report, Mr. Grohl.
Hello, everyone. Oh, so much. No, not really.
Yeah, right.
Just give you guys an update on how activities are going right now. We are down to one activity in progress. Our swim season was cut short due to unfortunate electrical fire, so our swim season had to be cut short, otherwise it would be 4 weeks of dry land and then regions. Our region, we just decided today we are doing a 100% virtual swim region meet. We did lose another team with Ketchikan High School because of their high rates. They canceled the rest of their season as well because their Parson Rec facility shut down just because of high case counts there. So we are down to a few schools left. Volleyball has been completed for the 3A's and the 4A's. 2A, we are still kind of operating. We've got three games under our belt, which is great, more than we ever thought we would even have. So that is rolling just fine. Once it comes November 22nd, all of our interscholastic competitions in person will cease. We will not travel. We'll still be able to do our practices with our out-of-season contact time just to keep our kids as active as possible. So that is going to be good. until January 11th when basketball and cheer are scheduled to start. And that was official yesterday. So we are rolling there January 11th, going through April 2nd, which is the Saturday right before Easter State. So we have a new calendar that we will be updating our activity calendar with. Intramurals, we just finished Frisbee Golf Championships yesterday. And it was amazing, wonderful. Thanks for all those kids coming out. We move on to cornhole next week, Monday. And we are following the American Cornhole Association's rules, if anyone's curious.
Oh, there are rules, huh?
We are doing the junior level, a 19-foot distance, and then we'll work up our way to the adult of 27 feet. So they are excited. We got a lot of kids coming in. Apparently, it was the talk in the grocery store. There was a Frisbee Golf Championship. But it was great. Moving on to our next one now. Our esports will begin next February is when we will start esports once again. We do have a 2-season with esports. We got a fall and a spring. We're going to fall and a winter spring. So we're moving that to the springtime. February 2nd is when our new esports season will begin. Like I said, basketball starts January 11th. Baseball, track and field has a start date of March 22nd. So we're kind of moving those back a little bit. What we tried to do was not touch the spring sports a whole lot with our reschedules because spring last year got absolutely nothing. They couldn't even practice, barely could do Zoom meetings. So we're trying to not touch those spring activities as far as the state. Wrestling, still a little bit more discussion on when our start date wants to be. We're kind of tentatively looking at March 22nd with an end date of May 4th around there. Just a real short season just to get the kids in and have something for them on the back end of it. So kind of still working with the doctors on and our sports medicine advisory committee on when wrestling will start. Our SMAC committee, the sports medicine advisory committee, got to meet, and then we did talk about a lot of things of masking. If you didn't hear, we had 3 days where masks were required during indoor practices. Our kids did great. It was kind of hard just to get used to, but my most asthmatic kid was able to do it with a mask. So that was good news, kind of just asking our students, how do you guys feel? Take your mask breaks. Of course, it's an adjustment. If you have glasses, it's a little bit harder. A lot of fogging happening, so we're worried about a little bit of safety piece there, but they did okay. Then that got rescinded, so we went back to our original type of mask when you come in and when you leave, and then you can take it off when you're playing. The kids are doing really, really good with it. We do have some new athletic masks coming in somewhere in the mail. It will be here shortly. I don't know how that works. But we've got some top-of-the-line masks coming for our kids because it could come down the line where masks are required while they play. Talking with another activity director, they tried out the masking for a wrestling workout, and they said it worked out pretty good while they were wrestling to have the mask on after they put their headgear on at the same time. And it's possibly a little bit easier for wrestling because they're not going for just 2 minutes of a wrestling piece. They're actually running up and down, so basketball might be a little bit harder than wrestling, but kind of hit or miss individually, I think, with those. So but that's kind of up in the air. The SMAC committee will be meeting about that. What they did decide is that they're going to work on, if a student does contract COVID, there is going to be a return to play form, kind of similar to like a concussion form, because what they're finding is heart issues with some of these students, especially our more bigger athletic kids, especially our linemen in football. What they're finding was that they're having some heart issues. So what's going to happen is if they do contract, they're going to have to get a clearance form, kind of similar to what a concussion form would look like. And so they're working on that right now, on what that form would look like if they were symptomatic. So that's one thing that's coming down.
Jamie, is there going to be a COVID safety training of some sort for your coaches in the same way you would have for concussion training?
Yeah, and they've already taken it. We made it mandatory for Petersburg. Yeah. And so that is a requirement now for all our coaches on the COVID-19 awareness form. What's also going to happen with that is that our COVID-19 awareness forms on Planet HS are going to get reset come right after Christmas. So all of our kids will show up ineligible on our ineligibility list, and all our parents will have to go back in and re-sign the form because there's more information that's going to be on there regarding that form to get them cleared by a physician. Right now, pretty cool. Our coaches have all been entered into a coaches clinic, a professional development one. What we try to do is send our coaches off to a clinic every year, one activity. Right now, we were able to get 275 courses with the top of the line of people in the industry to do it virtually. And so we've got this whole entire week, there's over 275 courses going on right now. I think there's four going on right now, and our coaches are, we signed them up that they can take any course they want at any time. And they can go back and watch these videos all the way up until January 15th. So we don't even need to send them out of town. So it's a huge professional development for all of our coaches, middle school and high school. Mr. Dormer's on there. I think he's going to watch a couple soccer ones, some big names.
Hansen Doris.
Big names in the soccer world. Mia Hamm's doing a couple. Kurt Warner was the keynote speaker, and it was really good. It was a really, really good session. So our coaches are getting a lot of professional development right now, even not with kids, and a lot of them talking about things you can do while and during a pandemic of what other places are doing and what's been successful for them. And there's also huge question and answers that they can talk with other coaches around, because we actually have more here in Petersburg than other states and other communities in Southeast have. So we're lucky. We're lucky here right now. So, and then I will share all of you, I will forward it to the board so you guys can look at it. The state of Wisconsin worked together with the Washington Intercollegiate Athletic Association, as well as the State Athletic Association. And they did a study of over 30,000 students to see what the prevalence of COVID transmission is during high school activities with the mitigation plans. And the results are really, really good. Not a whole lot of transmission happening. And this is just a state of Wisconsin study. And just to kind of keep parents at ease, that the transmission rate, you know, the average, I think, was 0.0003% with those mitigation plans in place. So activities is a good thing for kids to keep them active, as long as we can keep them safe and do all these plans, we can keep the rates pretty low. But really good numbers on top of that study that from the University of Wisconsin. So I'll send them to you. You guys have a look at question.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Next,
hey, it's Meg. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
For Jamie, he made a quick comment in his report about they're formulating like the return to play plan for kids, and I don't know that that's anything that we really have any say of locally, but he made the comment that it was for kids who were symptomatic, and I just wonder, you know, I think that worries me that it would be specifically for kids who are symptomatic, that either there would be a report that people weren't symptomatic when they were, or that even if you don't feel that you're symptomatic or you think it's very, very mild, your body could still be having, you know, underlying issues or heart issues. So I'm leery of that language. And like I said, I realize it's probably not something we have a say in locally, but maybe something to consider as they're having those conversations.
Yeah, we talked about that today, and that is one thing they're discussing on their form, because the asymptomatic majority of the students, if they never know they had it, they wouldn't be put on a return to play protocol. And so I think only if they test positive and the symptomatic kids, they would put them on a return to play just to monitor them for those 14 days.
So any positive case would be monitored that same way. So it could be
symptomatic. They have, we really didn't get a full detail on what that would look like, but definitely for the symptomatic ones. If they test asymptomatic, that was one of the questions that we had. And I know the committee's meeting again this month before they come up with that form of what it looks like.
Good question.
Yeah.
Committee reports. I think we really have any. Okay. I'll move on to our special recognition. I guess we're also have that under new business, but we'll just address it under new business. Okay. I'll move on to old business, which is our return to school after travel protocol. I don't know if anything has really necessarily changed since we met last week, but does anybody want to have a discussion or comments or questions? I did hear the governor declaring the 30-day extension.
Okay. From November 15th.
So when?
Through December 15th, right?
December 15th, that's what I was thinking it was. I just only heard part of the news report. Okay, so as of, I guess, you know, we don't have any changes to our ARs we gave you last week unless someone feels differently. Go ahead, Jay.
I just had one question. If the teacher situation, substitute teacher situation looking okay with the travel changes?
Yes, no, yes, I don't know. I mean, at this point, what we're asking staff who are interested or considering traveling, mostly this is around Christmas time, we're asking them to give us just basically dates, even if they're planning to go for a shorter amount of time and come back during the break, mostly just so we can be prepared. And then that's also on the next item on there about adding a couple of days as a buffer to the calendar potentially. We could still do virtual in-service if you know, we don't want people to plan for those 2 days. We want them to leave those as buffer days for if you end up with some kind of a winter, you know, the regular stuff that can happen with travel.
Mechanical.
Yeah, or weather, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Life, you know. We don't have a lot of people actually that are planning to travel, to be honest, because of all this, you know, just because it's unnerving. There's some question and concern about what happens after December 31st at the state level in general, just even, you know, will the state continue to support the testing that they're doing at the airport? Will it still be free to Alaska residents? What happens even at the rural level with that? You know, if what are their, what will they do, or will they do anything if, you know, that doesn't continue, or if the emergency order doesn't get extended? You know, all that stuff's kind of like this weird little
timing
unknown thing out there. So a lot of people are not necessarily making a lot of plans to travel. This is staff. I can't speak for families at this point. I mean, people will have to.
We were originally planning on every 2 weeks, but is that for this Thanksgiving week?
Oh, good point, Jay.
It does, doesn't it? Wow, it's already almost Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk about it every 4 days?
Yeah, we're going to reevaluate every 2 weeks.
Yeah, it would be on the 24th. So maybe on Friday the 20th, I'll send an email to us and we'll decide whether we need to, I think we can legally make that decision to call another meeting. I guess I can call another meeting, but I would just ask if we're feeling, you know, who knows, you know, maybe mm-hmm. something has happened in the next week and a half that
yeah.
either okay. changes our view of what we want, you know, Erica to be doing.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll, and then if we need to, we'll just do a special meeting and it will only be that. And we could probably do that totally virtual. There wouldn't be any reason to come in
mm-hmm.
to the building yeah. for potentially a 10-minute meeting
mm-hmm.
Or longer, you know, I don't know.
Sure.
So do you guys feel comfortable with that we could meet that Monday or Tuesday, the 23rd or 24th in the evening, if we need to?
Yes,
sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll just plan on the 20th kind of evaluating whether we need to call that meeting on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, there's a lot of question and concern too, just even about if you do, even for people that are trying to leave and come back well within that time,
mm-hmm.
just because of the testing time that, you know, there's no guarantee of that either, even if the tests are available, how much time it's taking to get them back. There's a lot of concern about that at the state level in general because of the backlog.
Yeah.
Especially if there is a lot of people traveling,
yeah.
they're going to have more
tests. Yeah. So there's a lot of concern about that. So I think that's where a lot of staff are. And people are still just nervous about traveling. I mean, especially that time of year with that many people on planes and whatever, it's nerve-wracking. So a lot of us are just kind of batting down our hatches for another 7 more months or whatever of being here. So anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So let's tentatively, Mara, should we do Monday? Let's just set the special meeting for Monday, if everybody's okay with Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
And then if we feel on Friday the 20th we don't need it, then we'll cancel it. Let's do that instead.
If it's only virtual, can it be at 6 or after?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would be fine with that if everybody else is.
That's fine. The 23rd. Mm-hmm. Monday?
Monday?
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Meg, what about you?
The 23rd.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay.
So we'll plan for it, but we could cancel it.
Correct.
If
6
we don't
need p.m. It. Is that okay, Katie? 6 p.m.?
Yeah, I just need time to actually get home.
23rd.
Okay.
Special meeting, and then if we, I'll make a decision on Friday, or, you know, whether we need to keep it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, any other comments or discussion on travel protocol? If not, we'll move on to new business, which is the grant award acceptance.
It's just gonna be a moment.
Oh.
Because we're linked to the airplane.
Okay.
Karen's gonna talk through it.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
No.
Oh, yeah, you can turn up the volume part.
Try again, Karen.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, much better. Yep.
Better.
It helps.
Okay.
We turn the volume up.
And can you guys see the PowerPoint presentation? Because I'm sharing my screen.
Yep, we can see that.
We can. Yep.
Okay, great. Technology's working. Tonight, Eric and I are going to provide an overview of the grant awards for this fiscal year and answer questions that you guys might have. But before I really get into our regular annual grants, I did want to talk about the Borough CARES Act funding. First off, I do want to thank the Borough for their support of the school district and our initial request of $778,000 in local CARES Act funds. These funds have certainly been beneficial to help us mitigate this pandemic and provide a robust educational experience for our students in this community. At this point, the actual needs for these funds is $642,135. We anticipate not needing about $135,865, and these funds do expire December 31st, 2020. These funds have helped support our six additional temporary COVID teachers, is what we call them. All of these positions will be retained for the entire school year. We've also been able to hire two additional custodians. One will be retained for the remainder of the school year, two additional food service staff members, and one will be retained for the remainder of the school year, one additional part-time technology support staff person. We were able to fund additional summer and weekend work days for our administrative staff, teaching supplies for the additional six classrooms, as well as single desks, plexiglass at the building offices, table dividers, non-congregate signs, posters, and cones, touchless soap dispensers and bathroom faucets throughout the district, hand sanitizing and disinfecting supplies, PPE for staff and students, and we are finding that this need is ongoing and we needed and will continue to need more than we had anticipated throughout the school year. Technology needs include the district purchasing mini iPads at the elementary school, microphone system district-wide, voice capturing device, and smart boards. We've also identified the need for portable hand washing station, water bottle filling station, and water bottles for all the students, as well as supplies for non-contact and outdoor activities for students, as well as a salad bar for the high school with a sneeze guard. So those are what these funds have supported. And Erica, do you have anything you want to add into this?
Nope, I think that is a good overview. And then just the last one on there being the pupil transportation, that was one of the estimates that we had made this summer, not knowing mm-hmm. what that all might look like with numbers of kids on buses and how much we would need to potentially spread them out, or how many, if we would have to add like multiple runs a day. And we've worked a lot with our amazing bus driving staff. They're awesome. And trying to work with the kind of pods of kids on the buses and trying to coordinate that the best that we can. So it's worked out pretty well. So we're not going to need that amount of money for the pupil transportation. So. You guys have any questions about those? Or okay. Thanks, Karen.
Yep. Okay, so moving on. We apply for and receive annually a certain number of grants. These special revenue funds make up approximately 7% of our district's overall revenue. This year, we will receive $673,940. And again, that's 7% of our overall revenue sources. This next slide, and I see the words are probably kind of hard to read. It's kind of small and a little squished together, so I apologize for that.
This is a pie chart showing the different grants and their percentages of the special revenue. Most of the grants that the district receive are less than 5% of the overall grant revenue, with the exception of Title I, which is about 27% of our overall special revenue. Title 6B is 23%. Title 1A is 18%. And the CARES Act funds that we received from the state is 14%. And I am going to go over each of these grants that are in this pie chart. So I just wanted to give a graphical, a visual, so you can see how these grants are split out. This next slide is the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund and the Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund. These are one-time funds that we are receiving as support from the federal government through the state of Alaska to help mitigate some of the costs of the COVID. What we've done with these funds is we only have a balance of $13,876 remaining from the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund. We spent part of that last year on getting the Chromebooks for the elementary school. This year, we're going to use these funds for salaries and benefits to support a small portion of one of our new COVID-19 hired teachers. The Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund, we didn't spend any of that last year in fiscal 20, so we have a balance of $81,781. And these funds are going to be used to support remote and on-site learning platforms. New things keep coming up as far as needs that are identified to provide this robust education. And we've also built in some supplies for disinfecting and PPE supplies because we know that this is going to be an ongoing need. The Suicide Awareness Prevention and Postvention Program supports middle and high school students. And this grant is $27,000. And it offers support such as counseling services, PBIS awards, school climate and connectedness survey, and middle school curriculum. The School Health and Academic Achievement Award, we also call this one the 1801 grant that Heather had talked about with the basketball hoops. This is a grant that supports wellness activities, programs, and supplies for all student and staff. The program is managed by Ginger Evans and Carly Johnson McIntosh. This next slide here is the Every Student Succeed Act. There is two portions of this grant that we receive. We receive a Title I-A for $123,737. This supports our Ray C. Steadman school-wide program. All elementary school students can receive services to help support literacy. And this year we are funding one additional teacher at the elementary school, as well as a portion of one of our COVID-19 teacher hires. It supports books and supplies, the Title I-A parent family engagement events, and there's also a small allocation for homeless students. The second part of the ESSA grant is the Title I, 1C. This is our migrant program. We receive $181,495. This program supports services at the elementary school, because it's a school-wide program, as well as families that are involved in fishing and logging industries. Some of the things that this grant supports is our migrant coordinator, which is Heather Kahn. We have a migrants recruiter and records manager. That's Carly Johnson McIntosh. We have a migrant parent liaison. That's Katrina Miller. We do have an elementary school paraprofessional funded through this grant. We're also built into the grant a portion of two of our elementary school COVID-19 teacher hires to fund them through the end of the school year. We have after school and or weekend tutoring, again, counseling services, and additional support for secondary migrant students include travel stipends for college voc tech preparation, after school tutoring, serve safe trainings, AP exam costs, life skills, cooking classes, STEM kits, winter and rain gear, AMSI and CPR training. And additional support at the elementary includes professional development for all staff, winter and rain gear for students. So we do fund quite a bit through this program here. Also, another little part of the ESSA program is a small migrant book award. This is $3,960, and this supports the purchase of books through the Scholastic Book Fair and Singley Alley. It's eligible for all elementary school students, as well as migrant middle and high school students. Title 6B, we received $153,689. This grant supports services for our special education students. We currently fund a portion of our SPED director, Bridget Whitstock, out of this grant, as well as several additional contract days for our SPED teachers to work on IEPs and reporting. Contracted services include speech, psychology, nutrition, and physical therapy. And we receive those services from CERC and from Petersburg Medical Center. We also have funds set aside for supplies and materials to support the SPED program. We also receive a small allocation of $1,509 to support supplies for our preschool SPED students. Our career technical education grant is $15,000, and this supports high school's aquaculture class, metals shop program, culinary arts program, and the CNA program. This grant funds an additional workday for the certified teachers that are teaching those classes, as well as supplies, materials, and equipment for the programs. We typically receive a second allocation in the spring, and it's been anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. The Indian Education Program, this is a federal program that we receive directly from the federal government. All the other grants we receive through the state of Alaska, even though they're federal programs. We received $29,899 for this Indian Education Program, and it funds a small portion of Jamie Cabral's salary to provide additional support to our Native students. It also covers the cost of culture events and activities. In the past, this has included the paddle making workshop, Nick Hansen's visit, and our students being able to go to Sitka for Elizabeth Petrovich celebration. This year, we plan to focus on the Native Youth Olympics and possible virtual meetings with Nick Hansen again. We also receive a Rural Education Achievement Award. This is $17,119. This award supports professional development district-wide. And the final slide is just a special thank you to all those that help in the grant writing for these programs. We do have to do this every year. These are not a guarantee. Oh, there's a lot of work that goes into those, so I want to recognize all those who are participating in that. Erica, do you have anything you want to add or want me to go back to any slide?
Well, I would like to know why your name isn't on this list,
yeah,
but I will say that we would not be where we are with regard to the meticulous nature of all of the work that goes into the recording and the accounting and making sure that we are following all the rules. And in the time that we've been doing these grants, at least with Karen and I working on them together, and then all of the work that comes in from Rick and Heather and Jamie, Bridget, all these, everybody that's involved in these, it does take a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work to get them, but it's a lot of work to keep them. And so they've increased, you know, over time. I mean, mm-hmm. We've worked really hard, especially at the migrant program and bringing in more people to be supportive to students. And we would not be where we are without Karen's work on all this too. So I just wanted to say that she keeps us in line, which is good. So thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys have questions for us about programming or?
Go ahead, Jay.
This was the one grant where we weren't able to spend all the extra money the borough gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just planning on returning that to the borough or what's
yeah.
the?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that'll go back.
Do they have to spend it by December 30th?
They do. I believe they're planning to utilize that within the business loans that they're doing for people, the grants that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of that's been really challenging because of that deadline, and it has to be spent by then. So, and it's got some, you know, stipulations related to that too. And some of it that's been really challenging has been supply chain stuff. You know, there's things that we've ordered and it will not get here. There are things that we can't spend it on. There's staffing that we wanted to utilize the money for that we've not been able to staff. So, yep, that's kind of where we are with that.
Okay. I don't think we did a motion to accept them, but
I don't think so.
I'll make a motion to accept the grant list as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Cheryl. And any discussion now? Thank you, Karen, very much. It's, as usual, very thorough and helpful. And I think it probably helps, too, anybody who's listening to understand how specific some of these grants are, which total, for those that are listening, $673,940. And just to keep in mind of that in our budget, that is not just money we get to spend where we think we might need it. It's very specific on how we are allowed to spend it. So any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, motion has been made and seconded to accept the grant awards as presented. Mara, please call the roll.
Meg Lister?
Yes, sorry about the delay. I'm with you, and yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carol File?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to the calendar adjustment, 15.2. I'll make a motion to accept the adjustment of the calendar by adding two in-service days in January 4th and 5th, 2021. Could I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Katie, and now Superintendent Clint Painter will explain the suggested calendar adjustment, reinstating two in-service days at the end of Christmas break, which would be January 4th and 5th, hoping to allow for a buffer for families and staff who travel over Christmas break and possible COVID test delays.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up. Thank you, and I
not much different. Where were those, I guess for anybody listening, where were those in-service days originally?
So to go back even to the very original calendar, mm-hmm. we've had now this will be the third one, and who knows if we'll be coming back again and talking about something in December or January. It's quite possible. When we started the school year, you know, we had added the additional 5 days at the beginning, which we did receive approval for that from the Department of Ed. We had to show that in relation to our plan and why we needed them. And at that point, we still had all of the original days that we had put in there from last year when you adopted the calendar, which there were a couple more days in the fall, there were a couple more days in the spring, sort of the usual kind of number of days that we spread, sort of upwards of 10 spread throughout. At that point in September, we did take some of those back out again after having the additional 5 at the beginning. We felt like we were hopeful we would have our kids in green, and we were hopeful that we would be able to just kind of keep going along there and not have more sort of time lost from our instructional time from our kids. So that being said, we did have approval for additional days within the calendar. Mm-hmm. So we already have received that. So we're really just reinstating. We originally had 1 day after Christmas vacation. Originally, that's one of the days we had in there, and it's a good day for staff. An in-service prep day
mm-hmm,
for them to get ready, you know, for the next coming semester, and if there's any class changes and just general mm-hmm. collaboration, looking at map data, that sort of thing, getting prepared. So we decided to go ahead and put 2 days there and go ahead with those same kind of activities at that point, and people can participate in those virtually if they need to. And it allows a little bit of a buffer for people if they are coming back, thinking about the possibilities of what might happen that week, who knows, with travel or whatever, or subs, or trying to figure those things out if we have to, then we're looking at more like 3 days rather than a whole week of trying to figure that out if we have to figure out subs. So it's kind of a threefold kind of focus there. So we feel like it's something that could be manageable. It does give a little bit of a buffer there, and you know, maintains basically our similar dates, the end of the trimester, I'm sorry, the end of the semester for the high school. That was some conversation that Mr. Dormer's had, that he put out a survey to the staff there, wondering if they were still, you know, wanting to leave that date there, or if they had wanted to readjust. They were looking at hours of instruction and trying to figure out if that was still where they wanted it to stay. And they did, I believe the feedback that they received and talked through was that they feel like that's still a reasonable day for the end of the semester, and still gives a little good couple of weeks after they come back after Christmas. So, yeah, that's where we are with that.
When was graduation? I know this is not related to COVID and in-service days, but I'm thinking there was a date that was picked for graduation that maybe it's worth
Monday,
putting on the calendar.
Monday the 24th?
Yeah. The 24th. That's what I thought, but I thought maybe we should add that to this one just because that's what we're tentatively thinking.
Sure, we can put it on there. Absolutely.
I don't know if it normally is.
Sometimes we do.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, but we can.
I just thought if it gets posted on the
sure.
website, and it's just nice for people to go
yep.
out there and go, don't, you know, not guess.
Yeah, we can do that.
Any comments or questions?
Will you make sure to get this updated one on the website right away, too?
Okay.
Oh, the other one's already updated. Right after you talked to me,
okay.
I had it posted.
Okay.
This is iteration number... three.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, we will do that.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded to adjust the calendar by adding two in-service days on January 4th and 5th. Mara, please call the roll.
Carol Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Carol Files?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Meg Lister?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to 15.3, informational on the swimming pool repairs. Take it away, Superintendent.
Well, yeah. So I've been forwarding, I get lots of updates from Mr. Giesbrecht, and as they're working through the process there, and as we kind of talked about a little bit today during the radio show, and as people probably already heard in the interview that they did with Steve yesterday that I think aired today, he did a nice overview of what's going on there. So we continue to have our interwoven relationship with the pool, our ongoing interwoven relationship. That's what it is. So at this point, it is looking like there's kind of two tracks that they're working on. They're working on this. There's sort of this initial kind of temporary fix that needs to be done to address the lights and the heating just within the... just in the general space of the pool area, not the pool itself. So at that point, it's sort of looking at the, you know, the issues of condensation and that kind of thing in preparation, and lights, and just getting some general power. So they've been working with the EOC and Public Works on that to get there. They have kind of one of those emergency kind of trailers that you can use for some temporary power. They've had the electrical engineer here. They've been working with the insurance company. They have another carrier that is potentially wanting to come in, or was wanting to come in and do kind of a, they call it a forensic investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know about that, sir, where they dig in very
mm-hmm.
deeply to what is, you know, the root causes and
mm-hmm.
what's going on there. A lot of issues with supply chains and the actual equipment and you know, whether it has to be completely recreated because the pieces and parts are out of stock, out of date, not really available anymore. So it's looking at that shorter term fix, which I think they're hopeful within the next 3 or 4 weeks that they can get that whole process moving forward. And then there's the longer term fix, which is looking more like 9 months out. Could be 9 months to, you know, maybe even longer than that. So, yeah, that's where we are with that. So that does definitely have an impact for us. As Heather said, we were excited, thinking we were trying to put together kind of a couple month unit, even this fall and maybe in the spring to work on those cold water safety AMZ skills, in particular with our youngest kids, you know, living on an island here and all the focus on that. So that was kind of a bummer that this all happened in the middle of COVID, because school was a pretty positive place to be once it all opened up, and pretty highly recommended by our medical crew too, as far as a safe place for, you know, humidity is good for the virus, kind of knocks it down, so it's a good place for activity. So that's where we are.
So big question mark for the next fall, whether we'll even have a pool, but if whether we'll hire.
And that's, yeah, we're still in that holding pattern.
Okay.
Right now as well, as we know, we had posted for that position and anyway, so I guess there's that. We didn't mm-hmm. have an additional teacher that we were hiring and paying that would be able to teach, you know, in that program. So the goal being, if it's open, mm-hmm. yes, we would like to still see that happen in some capacity. So, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll keep forwarding updates there, and I'm sure Steve will keep giving updates at the borough level as well for the assembly. And yeah.
But they're in charge or taking over that
process.
We don't have to be involved.
No, they're managing
hiring
that. Yep.
Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone
exactly.
to spearhead the repairs.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There'll be all of that work is going to be done through the insurance process, and, mm-hmm. and they're the ones managing that part of that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments? Okay. Then we'll move on to exciting stuff, a blue ribbon ceremony.
So there's a beautiful plaque there on the table.
There is. We need to take a picture so they can put it on Campus K. Or on the pilot.
I think you should hold it up, and you can hold on to it.
It's light.
It's beautiful.
It does say, in recognition of Midcoff Middle School, Petersburg, Alaska, exemplary high performing National Blue Ribbon School 2020 from the U.S. Department of Education. That's pretty neat.
I'll take a picture of you.
Oh, no.
What?
I thought you were joking.
I'm not joking.
Smile?
Joking.
Can't tell.
Yeah, smile, there.
My eyes, maybe.
We can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like, go ahead and you want to take it away. It's a virtual ceremony
and
this year.
Mr. Dormer received, we think we both received something, another thing today from them with it.
Yep.
And we will get, they're kind of working on, a lot of communities are interested if, you know, being able to potentially watch or see the presentation itself or whatever. So I think they're trying to work with local communities and a way that we can actually post that or share that out with people. The timing is challenging
mm-hmm.
because, of course, it's Eastern Standard Time for all of the things that are happening. So it's like it happens at 2:00 in the afternoon on Thursday, one of the events. And so that's, you know, it's 4 hours. Thursday will be 5 p.m. and Friday will be 6:30 p.m. So there's two kind of events and times. And so we'll just forward that out to you, to the board, and then whatever we can share, you know, publicly, if people are interested, they can click into it. And our actual presentation of the award is during the Friday night ceremony, and there's some professional development opportunities and some pretty high level speakers that'll be on available as well. So we'll just keep forwarding that out and putting out whatever we can share as far as what people can be involved with. Is there anything else on that, Mr. Dormer, from here?
You know, just that obviously in a traditional year that you actually send a couple representatives from your community to Washington D.C. and participate, and we're still ecstatic to have received the award and do a virtual, you know, presentations. I think they're still setting a banner. If Mara would say it's just not here yet, so there'll be some other ways to celebrate. Label up the schools and, you know, some of the community. We have a cool picture of the entire Midcoff Middle School all in their pods, and Miss Ashley Lohr pasted it together, so we sent it there for the slideshow.
Oh, neat.
It'll kind of show that it's all, you know, all their other pods kind of trying to celebrate. We have middle school scan, you know.
Sullen faces with behind masks.
All different.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's some different speakers and things too. So we'll keep putting things out there as far as what we can, you know, if people want to be able to tune in and what things that they're able to tune into, and when they'll be given the award and that sort of thing on Friday. So should
be fun. Friday the time Eastern.
Yeah, starts at 6:00. I think Friday night is 6:30. And like they'll have a speaker on there that the National Teacher of the Year speaks on. Friday, and then there's a welcome event, and then the awards assembly, our Alaska time, is about 6 p.m. on Friday, is when they will 6
p.m. on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's part two, Alaska, Hawaii. Yeah, that'll be us.
I don't mean, is it two o'clock?
Yeah.
Going back and forth. Is it backwards to
10
or is it forward to
6?
My brain's spinning.
It would be backwards.
It'd be
10
a.m., I think.
Oh, yeah. you're right. I'm sorry. I went the wrong way.
No, it's okay. I
could have two. My brain went the wrong way. I'm sorry. You're right. Yes, it is. So we will get those. We will get those available for students then on that same time on Friday as well.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Yes. You're absolutely right.
I did that with something else not that long ago.
No, you're right.
You're right.
You had the 4 hours correct.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so it's Friday at 10 a.m.
Yes. Friday at 10.
Okay.
Yes. But that's good because we can do that now with our kids. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Any additional comments from board members?
We'll get that.
Okay. Upcoming dates and many announcements, which we already said we're going to have on the 23rd at 6 p.m. have a special meeting to just discuss travel protocol, another discussion about our AR on our emergency board policy. And any other items people want to make a note of? Hearing none. Okay. Any future agenda items that you can think of right off the top of your head?
Hey, this is Meg. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was a little... I didn't realize the additional comments from board members. I was thinking that was related only to Blue Ribbon, so I didn't speak up right quick enough. I know I keep bringing this up and I know it's kind of irritating, but since we have had feedback from families, I would like to keep the conversation going about secondary school. And I don't think it needs to be anything, really, you know, time consuming or intensive, but I just wonder, like, in the, Mr. Dormer's reports, not right now is fine. I'm fine to move forward, but for maybe next month, if we could just keep a update of some of the information that he touched on or that he talked about in more detail in the last meeting about just how kids are doing. And he had brought up at one point some of the plans coming together or that they've been talking about for maybe prepping kids who are having the lapse in time from one class to the next, like they're going to be starting, you know, new classes in January that they maybe haven't had in a long, long time. So maybe if we could just have, as part of his report, a quick update on how those things are going and looking, that would be great.
Okay.
30 seconds.
Sure, go ahead.
Meg, I'll give you a couple here. Well, entire board. A couple things going on. Mr. Hayes has created an Algebra 1 and a Geometry IXL kind of math supplement to kind of help kids move out of that and prepare for the next one if they are on that math block lapse, I guess, as we were kind of talking about there. So that's plugging along. We're hoping to keep moving on that. So those are being created. We just had things that have disappeared from the schedule. We're trying to have back our pet band met on Thursday. So that's the first time we kind of had a high school band, and Ms. Leonard did that after school on some time there. So that's something we're kind of trying to bring back. And then that Friday time we've talked about with the block, trying to get more kids in the shop. And some exercise time and that kind of stuff, so that Friday schedule. So a couple things for the block, trying to bring things back in or going that way.
Awesome. Thank you for that update.
Yep.
Okay.
This is kind of on that note. Is your brother still offering the math tutoring as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What nights are those again? Sorry to put you on the
spot. I'm trying to remember. I think it's Monday. He was doing Mondays and Wednesdays and Thursdays if any of the students felt they needed it, because I think they usually have a test on Friday. So, and I think he's had anywhere from, I think the most he's had was 3 kids, and sometimes it's only 1 or 2. So it's not, you're not talking like an inundated group of, you know, or maybe it's because, you know, the times he's offering it are when they can come versus, you know, the teachers that are already offering extra help. The students are able to meet with the teachers instead of him. So, and he did say, I think all three of them, the three that he initially, he didn't tell me who it was because it's none of my business, but he just said that they were, you know, they had other activities or obligations, so it was really the best time for them versus right after school. So, you know, it was just, but it isn't like there's 10 kids down there. They are eating the candy, though. Thank you. Katie supplied hand sanitizer and candy.
We did talk about doing the survey again, too, didn't we? Or doing a survey again of kids as they're gearing up in December?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd actually kind of.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
And Dr. Harrington's service as well, your sister's.
Yeah.
And I shared that with all region 5 principals, knowing that could be done anywhere at virtual service.
Yeah, yeah. I know that's quite popular. I don't know how many are Alaska students versus Oregon students, so I didn't ask for that. But.
Good for those kids.
Yeah, some of them, she said, they were supposed to have contact in the classroom, and they. You can't have that in Oregon right now. So this is their way to get contact. So, okay. So we'll make sure that's or just at least part of the discussion for next agenda. Keep that on the front burner. Any other new business? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn. I have a second. Meg. Mara, please call the roll.
Michelle
Pyle.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Meg Lister.
Yes.
Katie Holmgren. Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. We are adjourned.